All right. Everyone unmute me. Buster, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let's start the Cultcast. Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. My name is Eric von Elijah. I'm here again with Buster Hine. Hey, Buster.
Hey, man.
Leander Caney's back with us. Hi, Leander.
Hey, I'm fine.
And Alex Heath with us again. Hi, Alex.
Still got his microphone muted.
Alex, press the unmute button.
Hey, whoa, am I back?
Did you miss the part of the show before where I said, wait, make sure you unmute me?
Am I on a podcast right now?
I have no idea what's going on.
Wow. Okay. Hey guys, yeah. What's going on?
put down your blunt.
Okay.
We have a podcast too.
It's done.
That made for great entertainment, though, so thank you for that. Speaking of great entertainment, let's start off with a story that I thought was absolutely hilarious. Did you guys hear that Samsung sent people with with signs to an Apple store? Hey, Alex, did you hear about this?
I did, but I also heard that it was actually RIM.
Oh, you mean BlackBerry.
Well, yes, RIM is the company that makes BlackBerry.
Yeah, so they sent this huge flash mob to an Apple store, and the signs, everyone was dressed in black, right? And they were all holding these signs that said, wake up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at first, when I heard this was Samsung, I thought it was pretty funny. And that humor turned to pity when I found out it was actually BlackBerry.
Yeah. Right.
And I was just kind of thinking to myself, why would BlackBerry... What could they possibly be thinking by sending people to an Apple store to tell them that they need to wake up? It's like, is the message they're trying to communicate that BlackBerry's products are superior and the only reason that people buy Apple products is because they're fanboys or because they're just like sheep? Do you guys kind of, is that kind of what the message was there?
I don't know why they didn't just send them in like BlackBerry suits, like full on like the fruit, the BlackBerry fruit.
Like the guys like from like the Matrix.
Like Fruit of the Loom. No, Fruit of the Loom stuff. Because I don't know. I really have no clue what's going on.
What they should have done is BlackBerry fruit suits. And then everybody just ran at the walls and their fruit just popped on the glass. It would have been like a massacre scene. It would have been awesome.
Left a big sticky mess on the glass.
Yeah.
You know, as ridiculous as that idea is, I think that's a better idea than what they ended up doing. Because, I mean, everyone who saw this video was just like, it's like they're so clueless, right? I mean, it has nothing to do with the fact that people are buying Apple products because they're sheep. People are smart. They don't just blow their money on things that they don't think are good. I don't think. Yeah. And like, do you guys think that ads like this? Because I know Samsung has had some commercials recently too, where they're comparing, you know, without explicitly saying it, they're comparing people who are in the Apple ecosystem to sheep. And it's like they're kind of like giving this message that we don't know what we're doing and we're just choosing this technology because of marketing, which I think is total bullcrap. Leander, what do you think?
Well, Apple did this, made the same classic mistake years ago, you know, when they followed up the famous 1984 Super Bowl ad. The one they did the next year was called Lemmings, and it was targeted at IBM customers, and it was like showed a bunch of office people, you know, walking up to a cliff and jumping off, and it said, you guys are a bunch of lemmings unless you choose Apple. So Apple's guilty of doing this themselves, but yeah, it's a classic mistake. You don't want to insult your potential customers.
I don't think you do either, and I don't think it's effective. I mean... I just think the fact that BlackBerry or Samsung, the fact that they think that they have a marketing problem and that's why they're not selling more units, it just totally baffles me, right? It's like, you don't have a marketing problem. You have a product problem.
Right.
And that's something I think Apple's really good at identifying, right? It's like, they don't focus necessarily on selling you a bunch of crap. Like Steve Jobs was always really focused on creating great products, right? Like, isn't that, would you guys agree that's kind of the core of Apple?
Yeah. Well, this shows what trouble they're in because they think it's a marketing problem. They can market their way out of this death spiral.
I would have loved to have been in the marketing meeting where they came up with this idea.
Yeah, what does wake up actually mean? Like, what is that trying to say? Are you trying to say, like, wake up from what? Like, buying good products? Like, what do you... I don't understand.
I thought it was like an environmental essence. Protest at first. And that's the only way it made sense to me. But what...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly the message they were trying to communicate. To me, it seemed like they were saying, hey, Apple's products are so far superior. Everybody knows that. Obviously, if you're using an iPhone, then you need to you're one of the sheep. And that's a pretty uncool place to be. You need to get yourself a freaking BlackBerry device, and then you can be cool once again. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So before we jump into some rumor control in a segment that I coined yay or nay, I want to talk about one last thing. Spotify finally released their new iPad app. Are you guys iPad users?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you are. Fantastic. So you guys all upgraded, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. So if you're unaware, Spotify forever has not had a client or I should say an app for the iPad, a native app. They've had the iPhone app, which was good. But I just downloaded it today, and it's fantastic. I mean, really well laid out. And did you guys notice something that I thought was a little funny? You can now stream in extreme levels. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah.
There's normal, there's high, and then there's extreme, which I think is like 320 kilobits per second. So if you're into really high-res music, check it out. We have a review on Cult of Mac 2 that we did today, right? Did you guys see that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. By Giles.
By Giles, yes. Yeah. So check out the review on Cult of Mac. Giles really liked it too. Download the app. It's free. One side note, it only works if you have a premium account. Otherwise, you can only listen to things that you have in iTunes, so it kind of is useless in that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's really is I still use iTunes a lot, but have you guys been using Spotify more even than iTunes since
I have.
You bought premium?
I have almost completely stopped using iTunes since I got Spotify.
I use iTunes for stuff that I can't find in Spotify. But besides that, I mean, if I can stream it, and it's really great for music discovery. I've discovered so much good music over the past like 6 months that I've had premium that I wouldn't have discovered otherwise.
Using the recommendations?
Well, just like recommendations, people like, but well, previously, you know, like you hear a song, you're like, oh, okay, I want to look that up later, but you never get around to it because, you know, you got to look on YouTube or you got to buy it or something like that. But now I've got the app anywhere I go, I can just pop the name of the song in and listen to the whole thing right there. And then I can find the artist and then I can look at all the music from the artist. And it's a great music discovery tool.
See, my problem with Spotify is I usually listen to more of just the same artists over and over versus when I've been using iTunes a lot. So I'll listen to like the same boring albums over and over on Spotify because I'm too lazy to like keep searching and stuff like that.
Really? They have a radio feature that's kind of like Pandora. It's like Pandora with ultimate skips.
Yeah, see, that would be good. I found it. I didn't like it though. I didn't find anything I liked.
I didn't like it either.
The music discovery, I didn't find any stuff I liked. I didn't find it that effective. So my experience was that it wasn't a good music discovery tool.
That's interesting. I mean, Alex, I have had the exact same experience that you did, which is pretty much why I almost exclusively use Spotify now, because they have apps and stuff that you can use. If you don't like Spotify's radio features, they have apps that you can use to find new artists. You just enter in artist names, or they have an app where you can enter in your mood, and it gives you music based on your mood. And actually, it sounds kind of cheeky, but it actually really worked well. And I've discovered a whole bunch of new artists. But I think the thing that you touched upon, Alex, that I totally agree with is the fact that, like, you'll hear a song when you're out, right? Or you'll see a song on, like, a TV show or a band on a TV show or something. And previously you're like, oh, I'm going to check them out. But you never actually do because, you know, it was a hassle where you had to pay money to do so. Right. And now you can do it for free.
Yeah. And really, yeah, absolutely. And I think the perfect, like, companion to Spotify for your iPhone is really Shazam. I got Shazam Encore, which is, it's like $6, which is ridiculous. But I use it so much that I figured it was worth the buy, because what I can do is I can tag a song. I can hold my iPhone up, say if I'm in, like, a store or something and I hear a song I like, I can get the name of that song within, like, 3 seconds because it listens to part of the track. And then I can open that right in Spotify from Shazam. It'll send me to Spotify. So it's really great for just picking up music you hear around you, you know?
Well, I was just going to say that, but you pretty much just stole my thunder.
Were you really going to say
that? Yeah, I was. That's actually where I was going next. So thanks for doing that. Yeah. So this will be Alex's last time on the show.
I mean, every time you Shazam something, you're like, you know, you think, oh, that sounds great. But then when you actually listen to the whole song, it goes, oh, my God, this thing sucks. What am I thinking?
See, yeah, that's my problem, too. It's I never hear stuff I'm like, oh, damn, that's such a cool song. Like when you're in a grocery store or something.
Dude, you know what you guys need to do is you need to shop at American Apparel more often. Because every time I'm in American Apparel, they're always playing great music. And they have a really eclectic mix of music. So I always end up like a total idiot, I'm sure. I'm holding my iPhone up to their speaker in the men's section of American Apparel, and they're probably all rolling their eyes at me. But I have found a ton of great music there. So that if there's one thing you take away from today's show is if you need to discover new music, make sure you go into American Apparel and hold your iPhone up to the speaker.
Yes.
Let's move on. I want to play a game of yay or nay. It's been too long since we've played this. We have got some interesting rumors to cover with our year name game. And Alex, I know you actually weren't on the last time we played. So for all of our listeners who haven't heard it, let me describe how it works. It's a very complicated game, so make sure you listen closely. I'm going to read a rumor to you, and if you believe the rumor to be true, you will say yay. If you believe the rumor will not come to fruition, you say nay. Does that make sense?
What about a hey?
If your words are garbled, then I will probably just ignore you and move on.
Okay.
I guess you could be like, hey, hey, hey. That'd be pretty cool. Although it wouldn't really make any sense, but it would add some flavor to our show. So let's start. First rumor. Apple to crush carriers, become a direct service provider. So basically, this veteran wireless industry strategist named Whitney Bluestein. Bluestein. No, it's even better. His name is Whitey Bluestein. I'm glad I misread that the first time. He says Apple will soon offer wireless service directly to the iPhone and iPad users, aka becoming their own telecom network like AT&T, Verizon. Leander, yay or nay?
Oh, rubbish. Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Rubbish does not count as an answer, Leander. I need a yay or nay.
Nay.
Buster.
Nay. That's like the worst rumor I think we've heard this year.
Wow. Alex?
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey. Okay, moving on.
Hey.
You're nay?
Hey. Oh, definitely. This is total bull.
Wow. I'm a nay on this too, but boy, wouldn't this be awesome? You know, I was reading through our comment thread, and one of the people who commented on the article was like, "This is total bullcrap. Why would anyone want Apple to have their own network? Their rates would be like 80 times higher, you know, and they would try to like market you their megabytes as being something different than what they actually are." I disagree. Do you guys remember when the iPhone first came out? It was because of Apple's doing. You had 200 free text messages included in your plan. And I think the worst thing about the iPhone are the networks. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yeah, but there's not a lot of money in being a phone being a carrier. It just doesn't fit in with Apple at all. And they actually made plans to try to be their own carrier, like Boost Mobile before they made the iPhone, but it just wasn't going to be financially worth it.
Yeah, and it's a lot of infrastructure, and it's a lot of hiring, and it's a lot of just like laying groundwork. And Apple's a product company, and you know this is kind of deviating from I think what they do best. And I think they've got too much focus for something like this.
Okay, yeah, Leander,
Alex is right.
Yeah, you know, like all the pain and hatred in the space goes to the carriers. You know, why would Apple want to take on that on board? You know, having people complain about the coverage and the drop calls. You know, let AT&T take the heat for that while Apple gets all the love for the device.
Wow, that's actually a great point. Well, just to be devil's advocate, you know, you could argue that Apple kind of went this same direction when they built iCloud, right? And they're building all these data centers, and they're not really making a ton of revenue, as far as we know, off all these new data centers that give you all these free services with your device. But it improves the value. And, you know, if Apple could build the network and improve the value to iPhone users, do you think that, you know, that might be something they'd be interested in doing?
No, iCloud isn't a network. iCloud is a feature. I mean, yeah, you have to have some infrastructure behind it to support it. But that's not what that's not where Apple's expertise is. So iCloud isn't comparable to a phone carrier in any sort of way.
Okay.
There's like 100 people at the iCloud data centers, where you'd need tens of thousands for a network carrier.
All right.
Man, imagine how much they have to invest in towers and stuff too. Good luck putting those in San Francisco, Apple. You would literally need the spirit of Steve Jobs to haunt like every county official to get that done.
There's one thought though. The only way they can make it awesome is if they bought spectrum off of all the carriers.
So yes.
They could have the world's biggest, they could have the greatest network, right? They would have total, Verizon in New York and here in San Francisco. And
That is a good idea, right? They take the best of each network in each city.
Yeah. No one's going to allow them to do that, are they?
Yeah, not unless the government forced them. All right, let's move on to a different rumor. So a 4-inch iPhone, a.k.a. the screen is 4 inches. There has been a rumor that we're going to see Apple switch to a larger screen in the new iPhone. We've obviously heard this talked about a ton, but they're going to switch the aspect ratio from its current 3:2 to, I think, 9:5 it is, right? So they get to keep the same resolution. They just make the screen wider. It would allow people to watch 16:9 movies on there. Did I just say 69 movies?
Yeah.
Those are the best kind. 16:9, so wide format movies. Do you guys think that we're going to see a 4-inch screen iPhone? Buster, yay or nay?
Well, not in the way that it was rumored today.
Okay, so you think we're going to see a larger screen, it's just not going to be wider?
I think it'll be wider diagonally instead of vertically. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of making it the iPhone taller. But that's just my personal preference. I don't know Apple's engineering and what they're going to do.
Leander?
To address that.
I thought it was really credible. I mean, especially when you go over to The Verge and there was a nice long post there about how this might work. And it was like, oh, my God, yeah, this really looks really, really credible. This really looks good.
And then it was kind of confirmed by Gruber, right?
Well, hinted, yeah, that they might have worked for Apple.
That he so he could take some credit when the rumor comes, if the rumor comes true. Alex, what do you think?
I'm on the fence about this one. I want to say yay. I think what's really interesting about this rumor is that it really didn't come from, unlike a lot of rumors, it didn't come from sources. Really, it was this one guy on The Verge, this forum reader, who put together this really compelling argument that got everybody thinking. And then a bunch of other sites started saying, yeah, this is it. And so I don't know. It's not like it came from...
Well, iLab says they have sources, sources.
iLounge published their thing today, and Gruber gave it a nod. So, it's smart. It was a smart take. So, maybe. Maybe not this generation. I wouldn't mind them doing the same screen one more time. But if they want to totally shake things up and do a totally different device, then why not?
Hmm. I'm going nay on this.
Isn't this yay or nay?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, that was like a yay that you just
that was a may, maybe.
That was more like
hey.
That was more of one of those. I'm going nay on this. I would love to see a larger screen. And actually, I was kind of a yay before I heard you talk, Alex. But I don't think I knew all the details. Hearing that it was just some dude's idea in a forum, I'm like, dude, what does some guy in a forum know?
No. What it is, it's building upon some guy in the forum put up this pretty compelling argument. This is how they could do it. And then iLounge today said they have sources, independent sources, that described the specs of the iPhone. And I'm not even sure if they made the connection. I think we were the ones who John wrote it up for Wired. And when he wrote it up, he said, if this sounds familiar, then, we go back and look at what The Verge said a couple of weeks ago. With this, this pretty detailed post about how this thing would work practically.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? So iLounge says that they've got independent sources, and I don't think they even made the connection to what had been talked about before.
Well, I think touching on your point, our writer John Brownlee wrote about this for Wired, and he actually read that article, and it was really good. I mean, he made some really great points. Just about how the screen would need to be bigger, because Apple is obviously moving to LTE. LTE drains more power. The reason they were able to cram LTE into the last iPad is because they jammed a bunch of battery in there. And he was saying the way the iPhones are constructed already, there is literally no more space to put anything else. They need to shrink. They either need to shrink some of the components in the iPhone, and or they need to make the iPhone bigger just so they can put in more battery, so that when you're using LTE on your phone, it's not going to die in 2 hours. Because obviously, if it can't have great battery life, Apple's not going to release it. So I've talked myself back into yay.
Oh my goodness!
And due to my own logic, I am now a yay.
I guess you're the host, so you can do that.
I can be as indecisive as I want. I usually am during this game. Let's move on. The case for a MacBook Pro without an optical drive. So there's been a lot of rumors. This was your article, right, Alex?
Yeah.
Well played, sir. there's been a lot of rumors about the next MacBook Pros, what those are going to look like. We gave them some attention, I think, the show before last, episode 8. Or episode 9, excuse me. And it's obvious, right? I mean, isn't this an obvious yay? I mean, Apple's going to be getting rid of the DVD drives. Is anyone a nay here?
No.
Crickets.
It's yays all around, right?
Yay!
Yays all around.
Yeah, and so let's just kind of talk about the logic, right? I mean, Alex, you wrote the article. Why would Apple not want to put a DVD drive in a MacBook Pro? Why would they move on from that?
Well, because the MacBook Air doesn't have one, and Apple labels the MacBook Air as the future of notebooks. So that's pretty clear right there in and of itself. But also kind of along the same lines of the iPhone argument for why you would need to redo the internals. It's kind of this weird, I don't know how to describe it, but basically where the ends justifies the means, kind of. So you, instead of doing it for like a design reason, literally what they could do is, if you take I think Chris Forsman made this argument when we were a couple episodes back, and you get rid of the drive, and that's a huge, if you look at my article, I've got a shot of what the internals of a MacBook looks like, and the optical drive takes up a good fourth of the entire
thing. Of space, right?
Yeah, so you take the optical drive out and you've got space for two hard drives. You've got space to make a bigger battery, which would, in theory, power a Retina display, because the Retina display would need a bigger battery. So if this thing does indeed have if the next gen notebooks do indeed have Retina graphics, you would need a bigger battery to power that type of intensive GPU stuff. So you get a bigger battery, you get rid of the optical drive, you have more space for hard drives. And for Pro users, how are they going to differentiate Pro from Air? You give them the option for an SSD and then another regular hard drive. So my theory is that OS X would boot from the SSD, the solid state, and then you would store files on the regular platter disk. So, or you could even pay to have two SSDs. But I think that's a good way for Apple to say, here's our Pro offering, where you can kind of customize a little bit and then also move forward with getting rid of physical media, which is what they've been really serious about.
Man, that would be awesome. That what you just described is pretty much my dream PC that I call the MacBook Air Pro. Like, I don't need a DVD drive. If I could have the speed of the MacBook Air, right? But then you have the extra storage where you have an extra hard drive in there somewhere, so that it's still a production machine, right? I don't want my machine to be neutered. I mean, I use Photoshop all the time. I use applications that are really graphic intensive all the time. And I need my machine to be fast, but I also want to have storage space. So that would be really awesome. And let's mention the most obvious fact for the death of the DVD drive with Apple, the App Store.
All right. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, Apple's not even giving you your operating system on a disk anymore.
No, like, no. And they're canning all their disk trials for like Aperture and iLife and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, the Mac App Store just reached like 10,000 10,000 apps. And it's doing really well.
10,000 downloads?
I swear to God.
No wonder their stock is so high.
Yeah, no kidding. But no, digital distribution is, Apple has pioneered that, and they're still pioneering it, and it just makes sense.
Yeah, so kiss your DVD drive goodbye. It's for the better. I know you think that you probably need it, but you really don't.
No, you don't. Buy a super drive for $60 and have
yourself
a crop.
Yeah, that's the thing is, you'll just have that option. If you want to buy a MacBook Pro, they'll have the option to buy a super drive for pretty cheap.
Yeah,
it's totally. Really not worth it anymore. You
and
know?
Aren't like DVD USB DVD drives already pretty cheap?
They are. Yeah, I bought one the other day because I can't remember why, but for like $40, it's just an.
Do you have to make a mix CD?
Yeah, I was making a playlist for my girlfriend for her.
White Snake and
no Dashboard Confessionals. Alex.
Oh it right. Yeah, it's 2000. Yeah. Mine would have consisted of a lot of Journey songs, but that's just me.
Leander would probably be Beatles or something, right? Whatever they listen to over there.
Jolly old England?
Yeah. No, Leander listens to Wham.
Oh, right, yeah.
Actually, yeah, that's true.
Huge George Michael fan. He listens to it while he ribbons in his yard.
Hey, listen, if you imputing my taste, it's because my kids are using my Spotify account to listen to that dreadful music. And then it goes, and then it connected to Facebook, right? So,
oh, that explains why you're always listening to like vampire emo.
Right, exactly.
You found your vampire emo? 50 Cent is playing.
I don't even know if that's a genre. If it's not, it should be.
Oh, definitely. Like Twilight soundtrack, I guess.
Well, hey, let's move on because this next segment, if you thought the first part of the show was good, you are in for a treat. We are moving in to a new segment that we're going to start doing, and it's going to be our favorite apps of the week. Week. And this was you like that echo effect? I did that with my mouth. This was suggested to us by a lot of our listeners. Thank you for replying to me on Twitter. I was asking what people wanted to hear on the show, and I was also asking if anyone wanted us to have any guests on. And the number one most suggested suggestion, if you will, was that we every week go through and talk about some apps that we really love. So we all have an app picked. And I didn't give any rules to anyone. I just said, pick your favorite app. It could be a game. It could be your favorite Wham wallpaper if you're Leander. Whatever you want. And that's fine. So, Leander, Buster, why don't we start with you?
Oh, no, start with someone else.
Alex, let's start with you. we'll give Buster and Leander time to choose their apps. And I'll go next. What's your favorite?
Okay, well, I'm a blogger, right? And as a blogger, I take lots of screenshots. I take probably an average of 5 to 10 screenshots a day for whatever, for apps, for looking at things on the web. I feel like that's not just me. I feel like, you know, people take screenshots. You know, it's easy to do on the iPhone and on the iPad. And I've been looking for a way to organize my screenshots because they just get lumped in with my camera roll and they're there with all my other, you know, pictures and Instagram stuff. And they're different. They're usually for work. So I have a bunch of app screenshots. And I'd love to have those all in one place. And luckily, a new app came out a few days ago called Screenshot Journal. And it's a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous iOS app for the iPad and iPhone that will automatically collect the screenshots you take and put them into a little, you know, nice little folder for you in the app. And they, you know, it organizes it by month and by all this stuff. And you can favorite certain screenshots or tweet them or send them out in an email or whatever. But it's just a great way to consolidate if you deal with a lot of screenshots, which, you know, developers and writers and people like that do. But it's a tool that I'm definitely going to be using a lot. It's in the App Store right now for $2. And it's just a gorgeous app, so highly recommend.
Fantastic. Well, my favorite app is one that's been around for a little while, but it just got updated to have Retina display graphics. It's on the iPhone and the iPad, and it's called Kingdom Rush. It's a game.
Oh, I love that game.
Oh, my gosh. If you like tower defense games... So if you like games where you have to protect, you know, your castle or your farms from... onslaughts of bad guys, you were going to love this game. It is so well done. The graphics are fantastic. And basically, you have to defend these paths. And you have these strategic spots where you can place wizards. You can place archers. You can place like foot soldiers. And you have to put the right mix of like soldiers and archers and wizards in to destroy your enemies, but also to slow them down. Because some of them are really fast. Some of them are slow and powerful. But you have to make sure they don't get to your castle, because once they get to your castle, game over. And It's super, super fun, really addicting, and the new Retina graphics that they just put in the game are absolutely beautiful. They look so good, and I think the game's a dollar. I mean, it's dirt cheap. So if you're into tower defense games, Kingdom Rush, I played on my iPad, but like I said, it's also available on the iPhone, I think. So that is my best app of the week. Leander, I hope you're not about to copy me.
Oh, man, I was about to say Kingdom Rush 2. That's the only game I play. I hate all the games. You know, I hate games. But I love Kingdom Rush, and it drives me batty. I mean, like, I got to admit, sometimes I go, you know, really get upset and frustrated.
Is it because it's hard?
Yeah.
I actually forgot to mention this. It is not an easy game. Like, there are some levels that you can breeze through, but I've played some levels 30, 40 times in a row because they're really challenging.
Right, I sit up till 3 a.m. and my eyes are like little red hot coals, and I go, "Oh my god, I hate this game!" But you got to beat it.
Yeah, right.
But it is a great game. It's a super game.
Yeah, is that your pick too, Leander?
No, actually, I was going to talk about. It's like this is even more boring than Alex's pick, which if that's possible. But sorry, who wants a screenshot? I mean, even I don't want to make a screenshot app. My god. All right, but wait till you hear this one, though. This one's even worse. This is Scanner Pro, and it's
oh my god, so boring.
It is boring. It's a scanner. It's a scanner.
You're scanning. You can't even say it without laughing. It's so bad.
Well, it's just scanning bits of paper into your hand. And unfortunately, I've reached that point in my life where. You know, I'm middle-aged, I'm old, and I have to scan stuff in.
Wait, I'm confused. What does this app even do?
It's just for scanning bits of paper. It's like
why would you need to do this?
Well, you know, for one, you know, it's super useful for doing contracts and stupid stuff like that.
Oh, so you take like a picture of like a contract and it does like optical character recognition and turns it into something you could search?
I don't know about the OCR, but...
Well, then isn't it just a camera?
But it does a nice job of cleaning it up.
Oh, okay.
You're right. Well, that's what I used to do. I used to take pictures like, you know, if I take a picture of my iPhone and then email that. But this goes an extra step. It cleans it up. It makes the file size a lot smaller, and it makes it a lot more legible. So it's a lot easier to, you know, it makes a nicer copy. Okay. And then you can upload it to, you know, various services like Dropbox or send it an email or save it to your to your device. So to be honest, I've only used it for a couple of things, but it was much better than using the old method, which is taking a picture with my iPhone. I know this is not much more, but it does cost and it is $6 or $7, and it's $6.99.
It's like it's only $50. It's $40 to $8.99 on sale right now.
Right,
price of a printer.
I thought it was pretty good, although you know, there's one big glitch, which is I can't get it to work on my iPad 3. It says hold still to take a picture, and it'll wait until you're holding still and then snap a picture real quick, you know, so it doesn't get any vibration. Trouble is, I've just been standing here for about 10 minutes trying to hold the iPad still. And even if I, you know, rest my arms against my sides and I hold my breath, it still won't take a picture. So a bit of a glitch maybe, but I did get it to work on my iPhone pretty well.
Jeez, you have to be like a sniper rifle operator to get this thing to work.
Yeah, right.
And what was that app called again?
It's a Scanner Pro. It's by Readle, R-E-A-D-D-L-E, I think. Okay. And I think it's $6.99.
Okay. Buster, you're up.
Oh, hey, man.
Hey, welcome
Sorry,
back for your nap.
Wow.
My app's actually not any more exciting. I guess the app I've been using a lot lately is iTunes U. I think it's kind of underrated. I realized
they have their own app for that?
Yeah, they have their own app for it. It was just updated recently. And I mean, I spend a lot of time in my car and I realized I was listening to like One Direction on the radio over and over. And yeah, so I've started downloading, you know, a lot of like English lectures and stuff like that. So I'm like actually doing something positive in the car rather than just, you know, listening to crappy music.
Listening to vampire emo.
Yep.
And so this app basically is like the same thing you could do in the iTunes app, right? It just is for listening to educational stuff. So it's kind of like Facebook Messenger in a way.
Yeah, it's like a Facebook Messenger.
Well, it's not anything like Facebook Messenger, but it's like broken out functionality into its own app. Sorry for the bad analogy.
There we go.
Yeah.
There's like videos in the iTunes U app instead of just audio.
It's not really broken out because it's a really nice app and it's on the iPad too. I mean, it's not really like just like the iTunes portal.
Right. Yeah, I use the iPad app more than the iPhone one.
Okay, cool. Well, here's the second part of the game, guys, and I'm not sure I mentioned this at the beginning, but there can only be one best app of the week. So now that you've heard everyone's arguments, you can vote for one app. You can't vote for your own. Alex, you get 2 seconds to decide whose app is best.
Buster's, because Leander made fun of mine.
Leander, whose app is best?
Kingdom Rush by far. Who wants to listen to some boring, stuffy old fist?
Buster, whose app is best?
I'm going to go with Kingdom Rush.
Oh, dun 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 dun. Can you guys see me doing that dance I did at CES?
Yeah, yeah. The Rocky dance?
That's my Rocky dance. Dun dun dun. That's what I do when I win. Well, I got to say, as compelling as an app that scans stuff is, actually, I'm going to go with Buster's. I didn't know that the iTunes education app exists, and I love iTunes U. I listen to a lot of different class podcasts and stuff. I think it's one of the best things about iTunes, so that's my favorite. But it looks like Kingdom Rush is our app of the week. Week, week.
Wait, how do you get app of the week?
How in the world
only got
did
two
you
votes
just
and I got two votes?
Oh, you got two votes too?
Yeah.
It's because I'm bad at math. So I'm changing my vote. I really love the screenshot thing. So it sounds like Kingdom Rush is the app of the week. Week, week. Dun, 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 dun.
Congratulations,
Hey, the developers get most of the credit. I think I made a pretty compelling argument for it. But if you're interested in any of these apps, just search for Cultcast on Cult-O-Mac. We'll put them in the show notes of the posts we do for the Cultcast. And that way you can check them out on iTunes. And all these apps are probably great. Well, most of them probably. And they're all under $10, right? It's amazing to me. Can I just say that before iOS, you know, games are $30, $40, $50, that you can buy a fantastic game for a dollar. A dollar!
It's the Starbucksization of games.
It really is, right? I guess so many people are able to buy games now that developers are able to charge a lesser price. Because, I mean, a dollar for a game, and you know what I just think is hilarious? Is when people, I know people who are like, that app looks really great, but it's a dollar. I'm like, it's a dollar! Like, when do you think about spending a dollar? Like, you'll go to the grocery store and nothing even costs. You can get anything for a dollar, and you're stressing about it.
You pay $80 a month for your iPhone, and you're worried about a dollar for an app.
Yeah, and
adds up, though.
Yeah, it does add up. But you know, it's like even if you spend $2 or $3 a week,
don't get a shot of espresso in your coffee. I mean, there's ways to.
Hey, let's not get drastic here.
Yeah,
I'd rather have the coffee than the app. But anyway, so that is our show for this week, guys. We are out of time. Can you believe it? Time flies when you're having at least a moderately amount of fun.
A little bit of fun.
When you're having a tiny bit of fun. Hey, if you're interested in following any of our tweets, boy, we have a great time on Twitter, and the banter just continues on Twitter. So if you're on Twitter, let me say Twitter one more time, just in case I haven't said it enough. You can follow Alex on Twitter. Your name is Alex E. Heath, right? Very regal sounding, and that's H-A-T-H?
Yes, middle name is Excelsior.
Alex Excelsior Heath. Boy, how I love that. And Leander never tweets, but if you follow him, maybe we could get him to. He just needs an audience. And that's just L. Kaney, K-A-H-N-E-Y on Twitter. Buster is B-S-T-3-R, arguably the most clever of the handles. Mine's just Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-to news and stuff like that, you can always follow Cult of Mac on Twitter. That's just Cult of Mac. The Cultcast is the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back with another episode of the Cultcast next Thursday night, and we will see you guys next time.
Peace out, Holmes.
All right.
All right, I gotta go dunk on some little kids.
The best part about that is he's not joking.
No, I know. I can totally see it. You love his big furry raspy
Yeah.
Shaved head dude with a giant beard just trekking down the court, pushing you out of the way.
Dude, I wear shorty shorts and a headband. They just do.
Oh, man, I hate it when Mr. Hines shows up for basketball. I still haven't even healed from last time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Am I the only one going to Avengers tonight?
Yeah. Dude, yeah, you are. Midnight showing?
Ugh.
I saw that preview and I just...
This movie is supposed to be really good.
I'm going to go see it. I'm just going to go see it Saturday after breakfast.
I was really skeptical, but a lot of the critics are saying it's just as good, if not better, than The Dark Knight.
No. Wow, dude, that's saying a lot.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it, but there are legit movie critics from respectable publications saying that.
Are you a comic book fan, Alex?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Oh, you are. Okay, see, I think like for true comic book fans, that might be true. But I'm not really a comic book fan, although The Dark Knight was really well made, right? But they were showing that preview, and I was like, Iron Man. I was like, I never saw those movies. I hear they were good, actually.
Never saw Iron Man? Oh, my gosh. That's such
but I'll tell you what I did
see. This one was really good.
I saw Thor, and that movie was terrible.
Yeah, Thor was awesome.
Okay.
That was terrible.
See, there you go.
That was like the worst movie.
That blew my pants off. Are you guys kidding me right now?
That movie sucked.
Yeah, it really wasn't good.
It was terrible.
That literally had the coolest costumes ever.
Witless and moronic. It was just a lot of fucking
the
noise.
Plot was terrible. Yeah. The acting was worse.
Yeah.
No.
The relationship between Thor and Natalie Portman was so contrived. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. There's no reason why these people should even, like, they didn't develop any relationship
there. The Earth stuff, debatably, yes. Okay, the Earth stuff was bad.
The Valhalla stuff was awesome. Was awesome. I'll give you that. The Earth stuff was really bad.
The stuff when they were up in the space thing, that was sweet.
Yes, that was incredible. And I think that was kind of the
that's what they were originally going
to
do.
Threw me off. It was just like, wow, that first part was really awesome, right? And then they get to Earth, and they're shooting these actors in full sunlight, and it just looks like a bunch of dudes walking around in costumes. Like, it totally pulled me out of the movie. It was like so grandiose and entertaining. And then all of a sudden, you just have these normal looking adults walking around in costumes. And I was like, it looks like it's just Halloween. Like, it totally lost its luster for me at that point.
I don't know. Avengers is going to be sweet. Scarlett Johansson's in it. I mean, come on.
Okay. If that's one of your arguments, I worry for you.
Yeah.
Weak. Did you see Captain America?
I hated. But the only reason I hated it was because I went into it thinking that it was going to be something really serious. Like, the trailers made it look really gritty. Like, it was going to be, like, taking itself seriously. And it was so campy.
Yeah, no, I think you should replace the G with an SH, and then you're close to the mouth. I went to see it with the kids. It was fucking witless crap. Oh my god! I just wanted that was one where I really would have shot myself if I had a gun.
I think you guys will enjoy Avengers. They say it's just really it's well done. The action's great. The story's actually not bad, is what they say. So
wow, the stories are actually not bad. that should be the trailer.
For a
Rolling Stone says not bad.
Not too bad. Yeah.
Not too bad. Gruber says, I didn't fall asleep this time.
I'm going to be at the theater tonight in my Harry Potter costume at the midnight showing of Avengers, and it's going to be awesome. So,
well, dude, I hope you enjoy it. I hope it's great. I hope that you get your $25.
I'm going to walk in the door and yell, Expelliarmus!
Well, we'll do that in the next cult cast. I'm actually looking forward to Prometheus. That looks really good.
Oh, me too. Oh, my gosh. It looks great.
Yeah. Although they gave the whole fucking movie away, though, in that latest trailer.
Oh, that's good to know. I didn't see it.
Huh?
I mean, I don't think they gave it all away. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, you know that it's, you know, it's a precursor to Alien.
Is it precursor?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought it was something that happened after all the Aliens movies.
No. This is supposed to be like this. This is where the ship came from in Alien.
Oh,
this
is like. Oh, dude! I just got goosebumps.
But it's self-contained. So it's like Ridley Scott says that you don't have to have watched Alien to understand it, but the people that watch Alien will get more.
Aliens is probably one of my favorite movies from the 80s. It still holds up today. It is so great. And yeah. I'm a really big fan of like apocalyptic type films, and I love sci-fi, and those two things together is like it's in my top 5. I love Aliens movies. I think Ridley Scott is such a great
definitely. Yeah, this is the director. First sci-fi movie he's done in like 20 years. So
really, now I'm a little worried.
No, but this is like when James Cameron shows up. You know,
yeah. But look at Ridley Scott's output since, you know, like Blade Runner, awesome, Alien, awesome. Since then, 30 years. Oh my fucking god! What, Gladiator?
Oh,
Gladiator,
dude,
was sweet.
Gladiator was awesome. You didn't like Gladiator?
Garbage.
Oh,
okay, Leander. I just lost all respect for you.
Leander, okay. Can you tell me one movie you loved?
Bridge on the River Kwai.
Okay.
I love that fucking movie. That's my favorite movie of all time. Okay, well, come on, you know, the usual classics, but you know, a much better Gladiator movie. Rome was awesome. You know that HBO show? Did you see that?
I heard about it. I never watched it.
That's much better.
Freaking Russell Crowe, who won an Oscar, and the other guy who is also won something.
Phoenix, right? Joaquin Phoenix.
And you know, since I know you love Russell Crowe, you should probably know that Aronofsky is doing a movie with Russell Crowe as Noah in an epic biblical action adventure movie. Jesus, that they're shooting in Iceland.
Is it going to be a romantic comedy?
No, it's supposed to be this like really intense, like epic Noah.
Really?
Potting the waters and all that shit, growing a beard, throwing some tablets.
I think you're thinking about Moses.
Moses, right? Yeah. Oh no, it was the art guy. Yeah, my Old Testament been mixed up there. I was thinking, you know what I was thinking of? I had a picture in my head of Charlton Heston.
Yeah, right. Like whatever that one was. I think that's Noah Part Two. He's back and he's pissed. That's what happens if the first movie is really, really successful.
Spielberg. No. Hey, Spielberg is actually he's been trying to get a Moses movie off the ground for like the past couple of years. Spielberg actually wants to direct and produce a Moses like epic as well.
You know, honestly, with all the reboots that are happening, I think it's probably about time for something like that. I mean, the Ten Commandments was made so long ago.
Yeah, why not go back to some of the most original source material there is?
Right. Oh, man. Do you guys like documentaries?
Yeah, they're all right.
Oh, okay. If you guys have Netflix, check out These Amazing Shadows. I just watched it the other day. It is this amazing documentary. It's really well done about the history of film. It's called These Amazing Shadows, and it's about the creation of the National Film Registry, which is this part of the Library of Congress that was created to preserve all this film that has been, you know, all these films that have been created in the last 100 years that are now being destroyed either through neglect or from some of the studios, or they're actively destroying them because they didn't think that anyone would want to watch them after they had been in the theaters. And it goes through and it talks about all these amazing movies that have come out, and then how the National Film Registry was created, what they do, and then they talk about why movies are so powerful in our culture and how they unite us as a nation. I just started hearing my voice. That's weird. That one when I went away. And just how
echo from the fucking moon or something, because you're going on for so long about this fucking dreadful.
Well, just watch it. Yeah, it's not a campy British comedy, so I'm sure you won't like it, Leander. But
no, Benny Hill. Is Benny Hill in it?
No, there's no Benny Hill. There's no knights farting in your general direction. You'll probably think it's ghastly. But Buster and Alex, if you guys like documentaries, I would definitely check it out. But Leander, you love documentaries. You were telling me you wanted to watch that cocaine movie, right?
About Miami? I watched a cocaine one. That was awesome. That was a lot of fun.
Well, that was great, wasn't it? And it was really long, but it was really cool.
Yeah, well, that guy, the star of the show, you know, he seemed like a nice guy.
Cocaine Cowboys.
Yeah, so I did a bunch of research on him, and apparently he was a real bastard. He was like, and he was implicated in a whole bunch of nasty murders, and they didn't mention any of that, of course, in the show. They made it all seem like a lot of fun, right? All very innocent, sort of.
Especially that main dude. He was like the main. He was like one of the main henchmen, right? He was like the drug enforcer, and he killed all these people. And he was talking so nonchalantly the whole time about his job, but yeah, that guy's job was like to murder people.
Oh, right. Well, no, he did come across as really creepy because he was so – I mean, he didn't have any emotion about it at all. And they committed that horrible murder in the airport.
Yeah.
With an ice pick or something.
Oh, my gosh. Like, yeah. Oh,
but no, the main guy, the one who was the dealer, the down from New York, you know, I forget the guy's name, Joey Fuckabucho or something like that. Anyway, that was a good one. That was a good recommendation. I fucking loved it. You know what I've been watching is BBC, The Frozen Planet. And, you know, yeah, it's got penguins. It's got polar bears, you know. So, but it's really fucking awesome. I was watching it with the kids, and it's just jaw-dropping.
I just love that you're totally like, give me a hard time for talking about this documentary about film. You're like, you know what I love? The BBC documentary. It's got penguins. It's got dolphins. I was watching it with my kids. It was great.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of apologizing because I was going to say, like, you know, I mean, you know, the nature shows. Yeah, you know, they're okay. You know, some good ones, but these are really a step above. They are like they're so amazingly filmed.
Is this the same one that Discovery? Oh, I guess it's BBC. It's not the Discovery one.
Yeah, BBC did a joint one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
BBC did that one series, right? That won a bunch of awards.
Planet Earth.
Planet Earth, right? And this is not the same, like the same production company.
Yeah, I think so. That was a co Discovery Channel and BBC production, and this one is too.
Oh, okay, cool.
This one's even better. I mean, like, you know, it. You think, how the fuck did they do that? How did they get that shot? You know, they're following along with the.
Yeah. How do you get a shot of like a jellyfish giving birth while like doing something? Yeah, exactly.
Well, I was thinking more like they had the amazing sequence about these orcas hunting seals, and they're following the orcas along as they go under the ice floes, and it's really chilling. It scares you shitless. It looks really scary for the poor fucking seal that they're after.
Jeez.
And they do these really, you know, they're pack hunters. So they will create a big – if the seal gets up on an ice floe, as a pack, they'll approach the ice floe and they'll flip their tail so it creates this big wave to wash the seal off of the ice floe and into the water, and they get him as he comes off. It's like – it's, you know,
nasty buggers.
Yeah, right. Really, really clever and really compelling TV, like nail-biting.
My mom hates those shows. She's like, don't kill it. Don't kill it. Yeah,
it's horrible. I know. But
you're like, amazing. Welcome to Earth.
We should put this into the actual show. Maybe
I was just thinking, if you guys don't mind, I'll just cut this into the very end. And for anyone that wants to stick around and listen to it, because that was like a fun conversation.
Yeah, definitely. Why not? We can call it The Movie Cast.
The Movie Cast. A new podcast from Colt and Mac.
Yeah. I got to run.
Okay. Catch you guys later.
All right, guys. Yep. Thanks a lot. See you. Bye.
Bye.
Smell you later.